to marriage beyond the vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we thank you so much for checking out the show this morning. We're talking about, are Christian marriages really that different? Really? Are they? So what do you think? Give us a call, 855-454-5905.
All right. Well, right before our break, if you're just tuning in, we were talking with Cynthia, who's calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. I'm still here.
Thank you. Well, I was going to say thank you for patiently waiting. Now, Cynthia, you made a comment, right? And
yes.
You were saying that you're not married.
Correct.
And so what's tell us a little bit about that. Like you were saying some things. I'm like, oh, we definitely got to talk about this. You're not married. I'm sure there's a little bit of drama with all that. But what are your thoughts as we talk about Christian marriages really being different? What have been some of your experience, especially before Christ?
Okay, well, first of all, I was raised in a righteous family, so I knew the Lord early on in my single digits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now 55 years old. And what I learned is we make a decision and then ask God to show us the outward sign when he speaks to us from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could help me with this, but I was trying to locate some scriptures regarding relationships.
Okay.
Because what I'm finding is a lot of these church-going men, when I speak to them initially, well, what are your thoughts about fornication? Fornic who?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they don't understand what fornication is. And it's my understanding and truth and belief that fornication is an umbrella for a lot of other immoral things that take place. Sexuality, open marriages, threesomes, and all the other stuff, pornography, all that comes under that umbrella of fornication. So when I say to them, you know, there is an instruction that God has put before us in terms of man and woman. Man is the head. Man is already a husband. Woman is his helpmate. She's already a wife. And both of you meet. You don't make nobody your wife, and you don't make nobody your husband.
Sure.
You're already that. God has that already inside of you.
Well, let me interject here, and I think that's a very good point, mm-hmm. especially about the fornication. You know, Ephesians 5:3, mm-hmm. And I'll read from the New International Version. The King James talks about not having fornication.
Mm-hmm.
The NIV, the New International Version, simply says not have a hint of sexual immorality,
mm-hmm.
Which, like you said, it falls under that umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what do we hear? That when you hear a hint, it's like a tint, not even a little bit. Like, as Christians, that should be far from our, not just our vocabulary, but our lifestyle, right?
Yes,
like, you all these things that you've mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Things that are just immoral, that mm-hmm. should not be in a marriage, we see that a lot. And they do permeate in relationships because people are not going back to the scriptures. So, for example, two people are saying they're Christians, but they're having sexual relationships before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But then they want God to bless the marriage.
Exactly.
And it's like, listen, God has not been the foundation.
Mm-mm.
How are you going to expect this blessing? Now,
exactly.
that's just how we are, though, right? Americans, we want blessings. God bless America, right? We
mm-hmm.
want the blessings. We're not always willing to pay the price.
Exactly.
And so that's what we need.
People need to know who they are in Christ first before they seek a helpmate. I would suggest that because, there's things that are inside of us that God has placed in us. And
yes.
we have to bring, we've been taught, you know, wrong, like love don't hurt. Yes, love do hurt.
Where
God,
is that,
when
right?
Father God gave his only begotten son.
I was going to say.
You don't think he had pain when he watched him get
yes,
spit on and beat up? So love does hurt.
Absolutely. Now, Cynthia, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we do have quite a few people
I'm sorry.
Pacing.
I love you guys. Okay?
Thank you so much. We love
doing
you too, Cynthia.
Job you're doing. Okay?
Have a blessed day. Thank you for your call.
All right, then. Have a great
right.
day. Bye.
All right, you too. Thank
All
you.
Right.
All right, let's continue on here. We have Charles waiting patiently on line 2 from Philadelphia. Good morning, Charles. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. It sounds a little noisy. Are you driving right now?
Yeah. Oh,
that's better. No, that's
driving,
good.
But,
that's good. That's
I'm
good.
I'm at the church compound.
Oh, okay. Great. Great. Well, we hear you now. Initially, it just came in pretty rough there. So, Charles, what is your comment or question for us today?
Yeah. Yes. Well, thanks for the opportunity. I think it's a very great, important subject. And I have had the opportunity to talk to a lot of young people, especially those who are anticipating, those who are contemplating of getting married.
Okay.
There are differences. There are big differences. And I have listened to the multiplicity of views and opinions from all of the callers.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it different is that it has a uniqueness. A man who fears God, a woman who fears God in a relationship, you find a home growing in Christ. You found the fear of God in that home. And whatever the man or woman thinks of doing that is wrong, once they think about what the scripture says about that particular situation, they would not do it. And so I think for a Christian marriage, this is why it is important to get married to a Christian man or woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because the danger here is that the man who is an unbeliever or the woman who is an unbeliever will not understand the thing of the Spirit. So if you get married to a Christian person, both of you will grow up together in the Lord, have a Bible study, go to church together, bring the children up together, and there are a couple of things that will be happening.
Well, let me interject here for a second, Charles. Well, let's say two people are Christians, but they don't go to church together. They're from different faiths. Does that affect, and is that a problem?
Sorry?
All right, so you have two people who are Christians, because you said, you know, people could go to church together. But they're Christians, or they, you know, they claim they have Christians, but their faith is different. They go to different churches.
Are you asking whether why I still don't get
no, like what challenges would that face? Because you have mentioned, okay, if you're a Christian, you're this, you're that, you go to church together. Well, what about the ones that don't? Couples who are saying, okay, look, we're Christians, we believe the Bible, but we don't believe the same thing.
I think there is a danger right there. I think there is a danger right there. The Bible says, "Can two walk together as if they agree?"
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a Christian and I'm not a Christian and we are living together, it's going to be quite difficult.
Absolutely,
it's going to be quite difficult.
And we know that
obviously, those men or women who are not Christian will continue to do those things that will actually inflame or incite the other opponent to actually deviate from their faith, which is quite dangerous for us as believers.
Okay.
So this is why it is important that we must get married to a believer and grow up together, study the Bible together. And there is so much love. There is so much differences. There is so much understanding. There is so much peace, happiness, and joy in Christian marriage than the other marriages. So this is why this is so important. And I really love the subject.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I want to encourage you. Thank you so much. I really do want to encourage you to continue sharing your faith, sharing your convictions. We really do appreciate your call, Charles.
Thank you.
God bless. All right. Well, let's continue on here. We do want to encourage you. We're going to take a brief break in just a moment, but we want to encourage you, go ahead and call us. We'll give you the number right now.
Yes, all you have to do to reach us is dial 855-454-5905.
And also, you can visit us on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com, mm-hmm. Beyond the Vows, and we will have more conversation here. So we're going to bring in, I believe, Jeanette from Wilmington, and we'll just bring her in and let her know we're about to take a break there.
All right, so Jeanette from Wilmington is here on line 4. Jeanette, good morning. You're live on the air. Hi, is this Jeanette?
Okay, maybe.
Oh, I think Jeanette is gone. Oh, Jeanette. Okay. Sorry.
All right, well, we have a few others who I want to say, please wait patiently, I believe, to Wanda, Dexter, and LaVon. Hold on. We're going to take a brief pause, a brief break. Don't touch that dial. Everyone else, go ahead and join us on Facebook.com or go ahead and give us a call.
That's right. So we want to hear from you. We're having an awesome discussion this morning about are Christian marriages really that different? Weigh in on the subject and let us know what you think and how you feel. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. But don't touch that dial because Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this. We'll be right back.
to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. We are now in the final segment of this Independence Day weekend edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're continuing to discuss the topic of, are Christian marriages really that different? We'd love to hear from you at 855-454-5905.
All right. Well, before the break, we were having some great conversations. We're going to continue with these conversations, and we want to invite you as well to join us on Facebook, because we're going to visit Facebook in just a little bit. We're going to go to LaVon, who is calling from Burlington, New Jersey, on line 3. Good morning, LaVon. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The question to that, yes, it is, because I was married and divorced, and my husband and I, both of us, were saved, but the bad part about it, like one caller said, that we was going to church, but we was not doing what the Word of God said. So that caused us, it caused a lot of havoc, living the world way, but then also going to church.
Gotcha.
And serve two masters.
And now, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think we really appreciate you being honest about this. I think a lot of people, you know, they just want to have that Christian stamp so they can get the blessings, but they're not willing to live up to the commitment, to the standard. Because, you know, let's be honest, it's not easy to follow the scriptures, right? It talks about denying ourselves. It talks about, you know, being humble. I mean, these things are not easy. But you were saying that one of the reasons, or the main reason perhaps, your marriage fell apart is that although you were going to church, you were not truly obedient to God's word.
Amen.
And so what happened? At what point did you realize the error of your ways?
The error of my ways and then his ways, it caused a divorce. He went his way, I went my way. And then like the caller said, excuse me because I'm starting to get a little emotional. By God setting us apart, I let the enemy come in, number one. Both of us, and it destroyed us, and it hurted me more, because I've learned by being by myself all those years, and God showing me, have me having my personal relationship with the Lord and abiding by his word and keeping his commands, I learned to know who I was, because he had, like the caller said, he had already called me to be a wife, because I did find a good thing, but we just didn't do what God required us to do. Now, and I always wanted my husband back. I always still called him my husband, even though we was divorced, because I wanted him back. And now we're both doing what God required us to do as husband and wife.
You're back together?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations.
God,
awesome. That's an amazing testimony.
If I can trust God, and if you know what, brother, if I knew what I knew now, because I'm 54 years old. If I knew what I knew now, as a woman who trusted God more now in his word and believed in it, I would have never given up on my marriage. I would have stand on God's word, because I would have known what God's word said.
But you know what I love this, LaVon, that gives a lot of hope to people that you came to repentance, although you messed up. I mean, you gave up on your marriage. You both did. But that is an amazing testimony of realizing, wait a minute, you needed that time by yourselves to realize it really had to be a deeper relationship with God that was going to help your marriage to be successful.
Yes.
So congratulations to the both of you. Thank you for sharing that, LaVon. That's really encouraging.
Thank you.
God bless you both. You too, LaVon. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, great. Well, that's super, super encouraging. We're going to go to Jeanette, who's calling in from line 2. I think we have her back. Jeanette?
Oh,
yes, thank you. We tried to have a conversation earlier. We missed you. Jeanette is calling from Wilmington, Delaware. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your call, and thank you for your persistence. I guess you said, let me call back. I want to have this conversation. So what is your comment or question for us today?
I just want to thank LaVar, the previous caller, for her encouraging story, because it is an encouragement for others who may be going through it or
Absolutely.
Possibly go through. So it certainly was an encouragement. And also the comment that you made, you hit it right on the head. And you said we go to church and we intend on, or we have intentions on, allowing God to be in the midst of the marriage, but somewhere he's not in the midst. So when you ask the question, is there really a difference? And I'm listening to the callers, and I'm still trying to find that answer. Is it really a difference? Because when you have a Christian marriage and a non-Christian marriage, if there's infidelity, there's infidelity in both, Christian and non-Christian. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, strife and bickering and trials and tribulations through both. So who is really answering the question, is there a difference? And, you know, and it all sounds good, and, yeah, we should have God first. There's a lot of shoulda, coulda, woulda.
And you know what?
We know what we're supposed to do and what the words say, but are we really doing it?
And you know what I think, too? There's a lot of deceit because people want to appear that everything's fine. Oh, we go to church together. You see them holding hands.
Yes.
But, like, what's really happening behind closed doors, it's unfortunate, right? But that happens very often.
And to share a quick synopsis of my story, I've been married not even 11 months. And I am a perfect example of that fictitious facade that we're trying to put on, not on my, you know, part, but we're trying to put it on like, oh, yeah, we're married and, you know, we're together. Behind closed doors, I feel like I married Satan. Okay, and we go into church and we're doing this, and I felt like I married this godly Christian man that is an avid reader of the word, and he knows the word back and forth and this and that and this and that, but behind closed doors. And this man just told me, my grandmother passed on Saturday, he picked this time and my morning to tell me that he's depressed because I look like I'm gaining weight and I'm my stomach look a little big.
Mm-hmm.
But this Christian man that I was perceived or deceived in marrying because I thought this was what I was getting. And I thought we reading the word together and we're praying together and we're doing this and we're doing that. So when you ask the question, is there a difference? I can't even give you a valid answer because I'm trying to find the difference. We're supposed to be set apart. We're not only supposed to look different. We were supposed to be different.
And you know what? Let me interject. But Jeanette, let me interject for a moment. And I'm not in any way trying to side with your husband, but you got to be careful that you don't get bitter. The Bible talks about,
and I'm working through that because I am bitter.
You sound it. And you know what? When you're bitter, then you'll cross lines, right? You'll get disrespectful. You'll hurt back. And I think that's dangerous because although you're right, your husband might've said some things or done things that absolutely hurt you. You know, sometimes the justification is like, well, let me hurt back because that hurt me. But as a Christian, the Bible says, submit yourselves to Christ. So it's like, even if one of you decides to be righteous, let's say your husband is not being righteous. He's being, like you said, wicked or the devil's getting the best of him. Your humility, you being righteous, your love, you can help change his heart and allow God to use you. Now, whether he changes or not, however, you're professing, you're saying you're a Christian, so you still have to do the right thing. See, that's the challenge. I'll be honest with you. I love my wife, but the hard part is it's not loving my wife when she's lovable. It's loving my wife when she doesn't do the right thing. When she says something wrong, then I feel so justified. Like, I can get loud. I can say this because you hurt me. And no, but I'm a Christian. I still have to be righteous. And vice versa. My wife, too, she could tell you, you know, there are times it's easy to love me and then there are times where it's really hard to love me.
Right.
But those are the times when we put the scriptures into practice. And I just want to encourage you just to be really careful. The Bible does say, you know, just to be careful that you don't have bitter roots in your heart because it will defile you.
Yes. And I'm very careful at this. I feel like I'm in a critical part in my life that I can't throw darts at him and then do the same thing.
Absolutely.
So right now, when your mama say, you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all, it's best that I don't say anything right now. It's best that I don't answer the calls right now because I want the bitterness to get out. I want to allow my healing so that I'm still walking upright and the God woman that I said that I am. I need to show that example and be that example.
And I think that's the difference in a Christian marriage is you got to be Christ-like whether your husband is or not.
Yes.
You know, it's not conditional. Answer. Because what you know what happens in a non-Christian marriage, in an unbelieving marriage, you feel like it's whatever's fair. So if your husband's loving, then, yeah, you love him. But if he hurts you, then you can hurt him. And it's like, that's not biblical. That's not the standard that God gives us. So thank you. We appreciate this, Jeanette. Good conversation. Stay humble. Stay righteous, my sister, no matter what. And we do want to offer our condolences. Sorry about your loss
thank
as well.
You. Thank you. And I'll be blessed and continue with the show to encourage people.
Okay. No problem. Thank you. You too. Be blessed as
thank
well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Well, let's continue on here. We have, I believe, Dexter calling in from New Jersey. Good morning, Dexter. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. We're doing great. Thank you so much. I was going to say your patience and your perseverance. It seems like we had a little bit of problem with a couple of the calls, but you called back. We have you. So great. We're having a good conversation here about Christian marriages and are they really that different? What is your comment or question for us this morning?
Okay. I want to make reference to something that you and Carol, amen, was talking about. And when you gave the story, to me, you gave the answer to the question. Because the difference in a worldly marriage and a Christian marriage is standard in integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's holding that biblical principle in your marriage. And like you gave the example, when the young man turned back, he had no standard no more. He had nothing to hold on to, nothing to fall back on. In the case of whatever he may have went through in his marriage, and it's like when you said that I got a kind of an insight to my marriage and something, you know, that me and my wife had been going through in our intimacy, and you know, I felt like, you know, she wasn't doing what I thought she should be doing, and as a result of that, you know, I started getting other feelings to go out and do stuff. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, once you cross that line, there's no turning back.
Yeah.
And he spoke to me. He said, you have to hold up the standard and the integrity of the marriage, whether or not, you know, she do what she's supposed to do or you feel like she's doing, no matter what, you have to hold up that integrity.
Absolutely.
And that standard.
And you keep it real. I mean, you're keeping it real.
Yeah, and it's like the scripture says, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up the standard. He'll give you the standard to lift up, but it's your choice whether or not you want to lift that standard up and live by that standard and live by integrity. And so that's my comment. I believe, you know, and I must say there's no difference in the trials and tribulations that we endure as Christian married people than worldly people. There's no difference than the trial that you endure, that you go through. But the only difference that is will you hold up the standard and will you live by integrity? Will you hold your position as that Christian believer, believing and standing on the Word of God?
And you know what gets me thinking here, and Dexter, again, I want to commend you just for your openness and keeping it real. You know, we're not immune to temptation. And so here you have this challenge in your marriage that's common. You're not the only couple or will not be the first or last couple to struggle with and have issues with intimacy. But see, as Christians, we're able to work things out, but we got to be honest. But that's what Satan does, right? He takes any opportunity he can. And tries to exploit it. And that's when we have some decisions to make. We're not immune to temptation, but one thing we are free from sin. And that is a decision. If you had decided to go and step out of your marriage, it's a decision you would have made. You can't go to God and say, well, it's because my wife fell short. No, you can try to blame your wife, but that's not going to work. It's like you made a commitment. Now you figure it out. And I tell you, that's the beauty of being a Christian. Is that, you know, you can go back, and if your wife is a Christian, she might not get it right away, but she'll have the heart to get it. And so she'll pray, she'll repent, she'll get open, she'll get input. I mean, and before you know it, you'll have a great and lasting relationship because you trusted God, and you'll live with no regrets. I love that about the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow from 2 Corinthians, is that worldly sorrow brings death, But godly sorrow brings no regret.
That's it.
And so you doing the right thing. Look, you don't have to regret a decision, a stupid decision you made a long time ago.
Yep.
Wow,
it's
Dexter.
Like, it's like that scripture, you know, that it was just on the tip of my tongue.
It's okay.
Stand free in the freedom that Christ has made us free. You know, when we become Christians, we have entered into that freedom. And you know, when we do those type of things, or we allow the enemy to push us to those type of things, we end up back in that bondage, that state of bondage, being held, you know, by the enemy because of different things that we choose not to allow the Lord to help us make it through. And, you know, and I thank God because, you know, it could have been worse. It could have been worse, and God knows it could have been worse, but he gave me the spirit of integrity, you know, to see things through no matter what. Because when we take that vow at the altar, we're not just taking it before family members and to sound good. We're taking it before God. And God says that he'd rather not you take a vow, you know, and turn back. He'd rather not you put your hand to
it's
the
It's better.
Vow.
It's better. Yeah, absolutely. It's worse.
Yeah,
it's worse. You're absolutely right. Well, thank you, Dexter. We do appreciate this conversation, and thank you for your openness and for doing the right thing. I know that you didn't do it, you know, for us, but it's encouraging to hear a man who's real about his temptations but makes the decision that Jesus is still Lord no matter what.
Yep.
Thank you. God bless.
Nice talk to you.
All right, you too. All right, let's continue here. We have Tawanda waiting patiently on line one. She's calling in. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She's not. No, Tawanda. All right, so we have Natalie calling in from Horsham, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Natalie. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I'm calling. I'd like to start right at the beginning before people get married.
Okay.
You know.
The dating or even before dating?
Before they, when they find somebody, before they get married, I have to hand it to pastors who insist that they go through counseling where the pastor and both people really get to know each other according to the word. So this is it can fight off a lot of this deception that happens, and then you end up with this beast in your house and you're thinking, where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get down to the tactics of it. You find out what you're both expecting, because not everybody interprets things the same. And sometimes until you get real close to them, you don't realize that. Of course, there are situations where people are deceptive because they know what they're doing isn't it right.
Sure.
But my thing also is, you know, the woman was talking about what's the difference between worldly and godly marriages. Well, our standard is higher.
Mm-hmm.
Our standard is higher because our moral standard, because we've chosen to make it higher. When we walk with Christ, we choose to make our personal standards.
Now, Natalie, let me ask you this, though. What about someone who goes to church, you know, professes they're Christian, the Bible's their standard, until something becomes difficult? For example, you know, from where I sit, I counsel a lot of couples who, you know, they're like, I love God, I love Jesus, but I can't forgive because this hurt me too much, or I can't own up and be humble about this because, you know, they just the scriptures are not really the standard, or they are until something becomes difficult.
My next topic I was going to get to. This is the other thing that I find with Christians, and I'm guilty of it myself. And it's not just with marriage. When we came to Christ, the Lord never told us this walk was going to be wonderland on earth.
Mm-hmm.
He told us, be of good cheer. You will have trials and tribulations, but I have overcome the world. And we are told right from the beginning, no matter where our walk is, you know as I do. As we walk that walk, we do go through things. And as we do, and we get into the Word and we seek the Lord, he takes them and he grows us up in them and he strengthens our character.
That's true.
What I find with a lot of people, they want all the anointing, they want the glory, they want all those things, but they don't like that walk because it hurts. It don't feel good. But there is no way but the cross. There's no way to get to be the person that Christ wants us to be without walking there. And I find personally, when you veer off track, whether you're going to go cheat, whether you're going to go, whatever it is that you do that you know God doesn't want you to do, you have to go right back where you left off and start over.
And Natalie, are you presently married?
I was married 18 years the first time, and I remarried, and my husband got a girlfriend, and we were divorced.
Oh, wow. Wow. And you know what I think is you're speaking firsthand here of, you know, Luke 14 talks about, you know, counting the cost to build a tower. And you said something earlier, that you commend pastors. And I tell you, I'm a firm believer in that, that people need to have premarital counseling and to make sure. Now, sometimes, like you said, the person, your spouse might be so deceitful, you just don't know. But I think that at the end of the day, you still have an account to God. And in this case, you said your husband left or he was with someone else and you're like, it's time to move on. You're not trying to hold on to something and he's not willing to live up to the standards of the scriptures.
Nope, he wasn't.
Well, Natty, I want to say thank you for sharing. You were going to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that the other thing, the good part of this whole thing, I didn't get to that yet, but I want to leave you with that because, you know, we have a promise from Jesus. There is a scripture, it's my favorite, it says that the Lord is working in us to will and do of his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a promise from Jesus because when I was in those marriages, you know, I didn't like the fact that my pastor would tell me, you are the Christian right here, so you have to act like the Christian.
Yes.
And I said, why do I have to suck it up when he's doing it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do that all the time, you know. But that's what the Lord is asking us to do. And he gives us a promise that he will be with us. And in the end, the Lord will turn it for our good.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Natalie. And you know what? It's not easy. And I think that's the part. We want the easy blessings of being a Christian. But that's not what's promised. It's not about easy. However, God keeps his promise, right? He's with you.
Absolutely.
He's pleased.
And obedience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Natalie, thank you so much. You have a blessed day. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. You too. Take care.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. And we welcome your phone calls at 855-454-5905.
Okay. Well, we have a caller from Baltimore, Maryland. We have Marianne calling on line 4. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you so much for your call. We're having a great discussion on our Christian marriage is really different.
Mine's kind of like a question. I really don't know because I thought I was in a Christian marriage. I had a husband who I recently divorced in the last year and a half, and he professed to be a Christian, and that was one of the main reasons I married him. And his family, my father-in-law was even a minister.
Mm.
And yet still, when it came down to being tested, and I even told him the devil was testing him, he chose to have another woman, lied about it, and she was also being deceitful to her fiancé. And the next thing I know, he got into another affair and lied about it, and now he's remarried. He thinks he's in a faithful Christian marriage. So how can it be Christian if you don't love God first and follow God's word? And unfortunately for me, I kept my heart open for him, which made it the pain triple than what it was, because until the day he remarried the other woman, you know, I just kept my heart open because I believed in my heart and soul that he would be convicted by his sin and turn around because he loved God first. But he considers his new marriage a Christian marriage. So what is the difference?
Yeah. And, you know, I think what you're saying is the difference between a Christian marriage and a non-Christian or a non-believing marriage should be Christ, right? Should be the standard of the scriptures. But what if someone is not living up to that standard, which was the case with your ex-husband there? Because I think it's so easy for us to call ourselves Christian. I mean, we are celebrating our independence. We live in America. We want God's blessings. America is supposed to be, 90% or more Christian. But we know all you have to do is turn on the news to realize people are not living like Christians. You know, tomorrow morning, a lot of people will go to church. But those very same people, many of them are not going to go back during the week and fulfill what the scriptures say. I think it was our previous caller, you know, she was sharing how it was so interesting how she didn't like to hear what her pastor was telling her, that she still needed to do the right thing, even though her husband wasn't. But it wasn't her pastor's words, right? That's what the Bible calls us to say and to do. So I think, Marianne, the challenge there is a true Christian marriage is a marriage that Christ is the center of. And that's rare. I mean, even from where I sit, I mean, I'm appreciative when people call, when they ask questions, when they want input. But very few people are willing to pay the price, which is that sacrifice of, you know what, I'm going to deny myself. Luke 9:23.
Well, the thing that, the reason I ask that is because if you read, from what I know of the Bible, his marriage isn't even sanctified by God because he's still married to me.
But he doesn't care.
You know? I realize he doesn't care, but I mean, you know, because I'm having difficulties. I know that the Bible says that I could remarry, but it's hard.
Yeah, because in your heart, you it's hard for you to let go. You still love him.
Yes.
And that's what it is. And you know what? I can't certainly tell someone like to just move on because you'd never know how God would work. But one thing I can encourage you to do is to resolve and trust God, because I believe that's where God has said you're not bound in these situations. If the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. That's what the scripture says. So why does it say that? It's because you don't have to feel bound. Now, you might be a person who's saying, listen, I'm loyal. Once I gave my heart, I can't just pick up and give my heart to someone else. But also don't close your heart, because God may be, I'm not saying this for sure, but God may be sending someone your way in the future, and if you're not open to it, you might miss out on what God is trying to give you. And the way to look at it like this, one more thing, Marianne. God wants what's best for you, right? You believe that?
Yes.
So if he sends someone your way, all you got to know is that that person, they're going to live up to the scripture. They must be better than what you had. What's better? Someone that truly loves God. Because if they love God really, they'll be able to love you really.
Then should I look at the action that person is doing to realize that he's not really what he says he was?
Absolutely. Because? Absolutely. You can, look, he can call himself whatever. I mean, people could give themselves any title. He can call himself a Christian. He can call himself saved, sanctified. He could be a deacon, a pastor. I don't care what he calls himself. The scriptures talk about wolves in sheep's clothing. I mean, he's obviously, I mean, you know this in your heart because you've experienced it.
Yeah,
he can be saying whatever. He's been living a double life. I mean, that's hypocrisy. The Bible says that's worse than, it's better to be hot or cold. It's better if he were to just say, listen, I'm not a Christian. You know, earlier I shared with one of our callers, Carol, about a guy who lost his faith, basically gave up on God, fell away, turned, and then ended up, you know, divorced, left his wife. But at least the guy is not claiming to be a Christian, right? So there's hope. He can come back and say, man, I messed up. I really blew it. There's repentance. But someone like, in this case, your ex-husband, who is saying he's great, he loves Jesus, meanwhile, he's doing whatever he wants to do. That, to me, that's dangerous. That's a very scary heart, because he's not allowing God to work. He's not humble.
And thank you for your answer, but I would like to suggest something, or would love to hear you have a show on why preachers today are in churches and they don't explain to people that when they get married a second time, they really don't have the right to do that. And it seems like they shy away from that. And I would like to hear, because I hear people a lot, even on today's show. Some of them have biblical reasons to get remarried, but there's a lot who don't, but they believe in their heart that they do.
I understand what you're saying. You're talking about someone who, like in this case, your ex-husband, who goes ahead and get remarried. Did he get remarried at a church?
Yes. He got married at a church, but they believe that I hear a lot of people saying that's before I was saved. It doesn't matter if it's before you're saved. It doesn't matter if you're saved. The fact is that I hear so many people saying that, we went our separate ways, unless it was for grounds of adultery. And even in that case, such as my husband, I waited because I knew it was becoming a need that I had to wait.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
So why don't ministers talk about that? They just seem like they want to gravitate and have people come to churches, so they avoid that. We hear people talking about gay marriages, but yet still we don't have them talking about all these
I hear you.
Where people.
Well, that's an interesting topic. Like we'll definitely keep that in mind and have more discussion on it. I definitely think it's a great idea.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your input, because now that makes me feel a little better to try to move on.
Okay. Well, Marianne, thank you. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. All right. Let's go to Sheila, who's calling in on line 5. Hello, Sheila.
Hello, good morning. Happy Sabbath to you.
Oh, happy Sabbath to you as well. And hopefully you're enjoying this Independence Weekend. What is your comment or question for us today, Sheila?
My comment is that, I mean, I see a non-Christian marriage and a Christian marriage, both the same and different.
Okay, so what are the similarities? Really quickly, what are some similarities?
The similarities to me is that God is available to us all.
Okay.
And that if we submit, we can have the things that God offers.
Okay.
And so the difference is that, okay, in a marriage where people are not Christians, the very fact that they get married is like honoring a union or institution that was ordained by God.
Okay,
and so God is available to them to even take them further. The only difference is that with Christians, we know and we intentionally do things because we know. With somebody that is an unbeliever, they're following somewhat the dictates of their hearts because God has placed his law on our hearts.
I hear you. So basically, what you're saying is Christ is there, and he's available for both the Christian and the non-Christian, but
exactly.
The Christian knows that, and where the non-Christian might not. So the non-Christian might be hopeless, and the Christian's like, no, there's hope because I understand what the scriptures say.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you.
The reason why they could be the same is that if the Christian does not apply is not apply the tools of godliness and is not humble, then they don't have the honor and the rewards of God.
Mm.
On the other hand, if the non-believers, not knowing intentionally, they fall into the honor of God. They deserve a reward from God.
But that's biblical, right? You reap what you sow.
It's
like
biblical.
Like I used to teach this. Let me tell you something, Sheila. I used to teach that, you know, only a Christian can have a great marriage. That's not true. You can be a non-believer and have a great marriage if you put biblical principles. Now, here, I'll give you an example. There could be people, and I've known some of these people like this, who are not, they're not believers, but they're faithful to each other. They're honest in their relationship. They put the other first. They're humble. And so they have the fruit of you reap what you sow, right? They have great marriages. So I think sometimes we get it flawed, right? We think, oh, automatically because you're a Christian, you should have a great marriage. Not necessarily. And also because you're non-Christian, you should have a horrible marriage. No, some people, it's sad to say, but there are some people who are not believers who actually might have better marriages than those who are claiming to be believers because they're applying certain principles that the believers are not. You know, it's like, look, you can have a non-Christian being more humble than a Christian in some situations. So absolutely.
Yes.
Now, however, it shouldn't be that way, right? We should be the example. And the Bible calls us to be ambassadors of Christ. So our marriages should be the ones to shine the most. Our families should be the example if we're truly submitting to God's word. So absolutely.
Right. I mean, and you would think that a Christian marriage would be better, but not necessarily.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
It depends on enjoying the ingredients that comes with the title.
I love it. I love it. Absolutely, Sheila. Well, I want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's
sure.
a great, great point. You have a blessed day, and thank you for your call.
You too. All right, Sheila. Love what you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you, Sheila. God bless.
Sure. Okay.
All right. We're going to continue on here. We're going to go to Kate, who is calling in from Florida on line two. Hello, Kate. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kate. You're calling from the Sunshine State. Thank you. So what is your comment or question for us today, Kate?
Well, it's regarding your question you're asking today, the difference between a worldly marriage and a Christian marriage, I say yes and no.
Okay, well, interesting. That's exactly what Sheila said. So, well, what are the similarities and what are the differences?
It's really about submission. And there's three types of people in the world.
Mm.
The sinner, the Christians, which are carnal, and non-carnal. So it depends on whether we're submitted or not.
Yeah.
It makes all the difference. And then even in the Christian marriage, like you were just saying, that God does not go against principles and laws.
That's true.
And
well, God is just,
that,
right?
Reconciling myself with that when he talks about he reigns on the just as well as the unjust.
That's true.
So to me, to believe in my heart, and there's so many people who've spoken so many things and they touched on what the word has to say about it. And we have to be submitted in him. And I just like what Natalie was saying about, you know, pastors coming out and, you know,
just
letting people know that, you know, marriages are serious and for real. Because when I got married, I'm married a second time.
Okay.
And she was talking about, I believe it's Natalie, the one who was talking about how she married and her first husband left and she got married. He got married and is not under or considered by God to be a legal marriage.
Yes, yes. Well, that's what her husband left basically and like remarried and probably I think even in a church remarried. So, well, let me ask you something then. If that's the case, what do you say about someone? And this is, you know, a little bit of a discussion. We don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to put it out there even for us to think about. So in this situation, her husband, you know, like she shared, has, let's say, an unlawful marriage, right? He has a marriage, not lawful by our law, but by God's law. He
right.
divorced. He didn't really have reasons for divorce, except maybe selfish reasons. And then he remarries, and then he decides to repent. Does he have to divorce that wife and come back to the first one, or what does he do?
That's a really good question, because that's where I've been stuck at for the longest part of my life. And I was, and she's talking about from a Christian standpoint, because
yeah.
we're professing to be Christians.
Of course.
And we're talking about worldly, because the world does their thing. And
yeah, of course. The world does their thing. They have whatever standard. I mean, the world changes, you know, marriages sometimes in relationships the way they change shoes, you know, it's like whatever.
Right.
But us, we know that marriage is supposed to be for life.
Right. So for me, when I wasn't saved, I was out there. So
mm-hmm.
I'm like talking on both sides of the fence right now.
Yeah.
So I was out there, and even though I'm a PK.
Okay.
But my heart wasn't open or receptive to the word. So I wasn't falling in.
Okay, we have 1 minute. I just want you to know that.
Oh,
our show's
okay.
about to end. No, I just, because I put that question out there because it's.
Okay, well, back to the question you asked me about, you know, married.
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, I was married before and I walked away.
Okay.
But I wasn't saved and I wasn't professing Christian.
Okay.
But then I got saved and got I was married again, but I was still not saved when I got married. But then I got saved while in the marriage. It was easy for me to walk away the first time because I didn't have any clue or idea of the standard. And to walk away now, I couldn't even walk away if I wanted to, because God's word is so deeply embedded in my heart.
And I appreciate you sharing that. And unfortunately, we got to cut it off. But really, the question is, what are you willing to do now? You can't go back, right? It's like having a child out of wedlock. You can't,
well,
what are you going to do?
Back,
you can't put
anyway.
The child back. Like, hey.
Well, my first husband passed.
Okay. Yeah, so if he's, you can't even remarry him. You can't even go back to him if you wanted to. Wow.
So I was always battling with that in my heart. I have constantly battled, so I could never, you know, like, if it came against, like, obstacles in my marriage, even though I'm a Christian.
I hear you.
It would still be in my heart, and God's dealing
wow.
with me about that.
This is good conversation. Okay, unfortunately, we're out of time. But you brought up a great point, and I think that, you know, I'm going to take the input. We're going to have more conversation in a future show as we discuss this, you know, divorce, remarriage, all that good stuff, because there's a lot there that we can actually discuss. But thank you, Kate. We really do appreciate you calling in from Florida. We appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Have a blessed weekend. God bless you all. You bless my heart. Truly.
Thank
awesome.
You. So you have as well. And you have a blessed day. Thank
all
you.
All right. Take care.
All right. Well, it sounds like this is it. Yeah. We didn't even get to really go back to Facebook, but I want to encourage you. Go ahead and join our Facebook page. Go to Facebook.com, Beyond the Vows. Also, you can always find us at PraisePhilly.com. And today, we want to say thank you to our producer, Tiffany. Tiffany produced our show today. So thank you so much.
I was hustling hard in the
background. Yes, you were. You did a great job.
Thank you very much. And much love to our regular producer, Larry, who's taking some much-needed time off. We thank you for listening. And we hope you will join us next week for the next edition of Marriage Beyond Vows. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week, and enjoy the remainder of your holiday weekend. Bye-bye.